to Exodus chapter 15. In just a moment, we'll be reading from there. Do you like all the music that we're having in the worship service this morning? Isn't it great to have so much music? I mean, there is, and thank you, band, for all your leadership. There is something about music. I'm not exactly sure what it is. We can struggle just with everything we've got to try to memorize something. Sometimes we can't even remember the names of the people we love, much less their addresses, and if we don't have them in our phones, their phone numbers. It's really tough. But with just a couple of notes, right? You can name that tune in 6 notes or 5 notes or 4. You can get an entire song, and if someone starts you out, you can actually sing all the lyrics. Growing up, I knew no Armenian at all, except the words I can't repeat here. But I could sing the Hayyer Meir, because once it got going, I could do it. In fact, I still have trouble, I don't know, maybe some of you are like this, reciting it or praying it without music. When I'm at a graveside service, if I can't have my notes with the writing out, it could be very bad. It could be very bad. Music can give us the ability to remember things. It also has the power to inspire us, doesn't it? Okay, how many of you watched the World Cup? Right, you see how it started this morning? What do all these athletic events start with? The national anthems, or whether it's, you know, if you watch hockey, it's Canadian and American. Today, this morning, you heard the French national anthem, and you heard the Croatian. I'd never heard the Croatian national anthem before. But did you see the fire in the eyes of the players, or in the fans? The fans, you had to keep them in the stands. They wanted to get out there to represent their country. It inspired them. The music if they had simply quoted the words, you think that would have been inspiring? Maybe not so much. I don't know. Does anyone have any USC fans in their families? There they are. I'll tell you, you play the fight song for the Trojan, and kids just get out of the way. They're just going crazy. Don't start singing. Don't start. Just don't go there. Some of us have classical pieces that if you play piano or another instrument, there are some times when you simply need peace and you will pick up the instrument or you'll play the song and the music just inspires peace and in a way that a conversation couldn't. Even instrumental that have no lyrics at all, it just settles your heart and actually can help reconnect you to who you are. I mean, when don't we have music? In our cars, we've got it going. In our houses, we've got it going. Okay, who's got earbuds in their pocket? Take them out of your ears right now if you've got earbuds in. Look around. No one's got them in their ears, I hope. But it seems like we can't even be without music, even for a second. We love it because it gives us so much. Sosie's father, he loved to sing. Now, he may not have had any formal education, but this man could sing for hours. And he made sure that his daughters played, and he would make them play for hours. The children, the grandchildren, so he could hear the songs. And if they messed up, he could catch the mistakes because he'd heard the songs so many times. Music is just, it's powerful. And in their little one-room French house in Anjar, what was there? The piano. There was a piano in that one-room house. And when I went to Armenia in 1991 in Gyumri, we stayed in one of the rail cars. Remember how the people who had lost their homes had to have, they brought in rail cars because there was no other place where they could live because all their houses were destroyed. Inside that rail car, there were not only beds and a chest of drawers, but what else was in the rail car house? A piano. And the family would come in and they would play the piano in this room. Music is so important. I remember growing up, and I don't know how many of you parents have done this with your children, but my parents wanted me to appreciate classical music. Who grew up listening to Peter and the Wolf? The Prokofiev, parents? You know, all you parents of all these babies going on, grandparents, make sure the kids hear Peter and the Wolf. Peter and the Wolf. They'll learn all the different instruments, the clarinet for the duck and the different sounds for the wolf and the flute for the bird. The music can capture and communicate in ways that simple words cannot. Someone starts playing a few bars of the Star Wars theme, Darth Vader's song. You're already in fact, some of you have just departed from the building. You're watching the movie in your head right now. Music can just do so much, and it was instrumental in the life of the people of God from the beginning. And we have a whole book. The longest book in the Bible is what? Psalms. Those are songs of worship, songs of praise, songs of lament, complaining, songs of thanksgiving. It means a lot to God to have his people sing. It means so much to him. And what's fascinating is you can go into a mosque, and while you'll hear chanting, you won't hear instruments accompanying voices. You can go into Hindu temples, Buddhist, you will not hear songs of praise as the people are gathered. There's something about music and something about music that means a lot to God. Joyful singing, as we just read from Psalm 100, is huge. See, you've got to sing your song. The Psalms have 150. There are songs throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament. But what is your song? What is your song? You may say, I don't like singing. And, you know, if I start singing, you may say, we don't want you to sing. And that's okay. But I still have a song. What's your song? See, in response to life, oh gosh, I made a mistake with this one. In response to life, it's God's involvement in our lives. We absolutely must sing our songs of praise. Someone may not want to hear a sermon, but they want to hear your song. See, the theme of our study has been Rescue 911 and Yahweh. God is our rescuer. He is the one who saves. He is the one who delivers. He is the living God. Let me read. I'm going to pick up where Badvili Mugo shared last week. I want to just take us back to the story that prompts the song of Exodus 15. I'm going to start in chapter 14, verse 11. The Egyptians are marching toward them. They're closing fast, and the Hebrews are crying out. They're terrified, and they say to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Or another way of translating that expression, to be still, is you need to be silent. You need to stop talking. You need to stop crying. God's response is, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch your hand over the sea to divide the waters so the Israelites will go through the sea on dry ground." And you know, we went through it, as Badvili said last week, the crossing of the Red Sea is the story. It is the theme of the, it keeps getting repeated over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament. It was evidence of God being involved in the people's lives. God is a rescuer. God crushed the Egyptians. He crushed them. And they can't, they can never, ever forget it. I'm just going to pick up verse 24 of chapter 14. During the last watch of the night, Yahweh looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Can you imagine? Those are their last words. Those are the last words of this most powerful army of the world at that time. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. They feared the Lord, and they put their trust in him and in Moses, and they started to sing. They started to sing. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. "I will sing to Yahweh, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver," or horse and rider, "he hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name." If you're going to sing to God, if you're going to sing your song, tell who he is. Tell who God is. Tell them that there is a living God. He has a funny name to us, but Yahweh is his name. Yahweh, you are my. This is a personal statement. You're not just shouting theology. You're not just saying, "This is what I read somewhere." This is my. Did you see how many times "my" is repeated? You are my strength, my defense, my salvation, my God. The Lord, Yahweh, is a warrior. We've got to tell people who God is. Your song is not about you. You play a big part in it because it's through your life, it's through your dangerous experience that the Lord got involved and he rescued you. So what's your song? How did God reveal himself? Was it as your strength? Was it as your provider? Was it as a shield protecting you? How did God reveal himself in your story? You want to let people know that the living God is your God. How did he show himself? How is he showing himself in your life right now? Sing about it. You've got to tell someone about this. We have to sing our song. We also want to just tell what he's done. Starting in verse 4, "The Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand," that means the place of power, "was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble." So we've got fire, we've got water, we've got now a blast of air. "By the blast of your nostrils, The water piled up. The surging waters stood like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew your breath. You blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Yahweh? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Moses is singing the song, and after he accounts and after he tells what God has done, he just comes up with a question, who's like you? Who is like you? There has never been a nation that has been rescued from another nation. There's never been a God who has crushed a country who has held a nation captive. Never been one like this. Who is like you? There is no one. There is no God like the living God. You sing your song about a unique deity. Someone who is absolutely unique. Someone, though he is high and exalted, lives, we can't even say where he lives. Scripture says he's high and exalted, and yet he dwells with the humble and the lowly of spirit, those who need to be rescued. Your claim to fame in your song is that you needed to be rescued. You needed to be saved. It's not about us. It's not how good I am. If I was so good, if you were so good, you wouldn't need a Savior. And if there's one thing that turns people off to the gospel, it's people like me or people like you who switch the story around, really turn it upside down so that we become the center of the story and not the rescuer, not the deliverer, not God. We want people, when they hear our song, to say, where'd you find him? There is no one like him. There is no one at all who loves me in my worst. There is no one at all who sees me turn away from him and then doesn't go the other way, who actually follows me. There is no God like our God. We want people to cry out, who is like you? Who is like you, God? But see, it's interesting. Too frequently, we as believers only look back. God was faithful in the past. When I was 14, he opened my heart to the gospel. I asked for his forgiveness, and he forgave me. And I'll repeat that story for as long as anyone will listen to me. But you know what? If that's all I've got to say, I'm selling God short. It's not only what he's done, but we have to tell people what he will do. Did you look at verse 12, and we'll continue reading. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought, the people you redeemed, pass by. You will bring them into the land and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, oh Yahweh, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Yahweh, your hands have established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. We want to tell people what God will do. Uh-oh, but can I say that? Can I know for sure that God's going to be the same as he was? Can you do that? If God has been a defender in the past, can you count on him in the future? Can you boast about him ahead of time that he will be your defender? Or, I don't know, he did it once, but will he do it again? I don't want to presume on God. You absolutely presume on the character of God. Not your own imagination, but God is a defender. God is a leader. He will lead. God will redeem. He is a redeemer. We need to count on his character. We need to boast about him ahead of time. You know what that's called? Faith. That's what it's called. You say it ahead of time because you really do believe that what he's done in the past, he's going to do in the future. And some of you are thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. Because, you know, you're afraid for God's reputation. No, you're not. You just don't believe it. You're like me. You don't want to count on God, and you don't want to get out there, because if you're out there, what if he doesn't catch you? Let's give him a chance, right? Let's be vulnerable to God. Let's let him be God. Let's trust him. Let's step out and count on his character, that he is our lover. He loves you. And I will never be able to say this enough to myself or to you. He loves you just as you are, not as you should be. Again, we're going to look at Israel. Come on, you can't read the Old Testament without being convinced that God loves the unlovable. God loves the stubbornly disobedient. So you know who that means he loves? Me. And you. You count on his love and you boast about his love, that he is going to love you no matter what. He will guide you. Did you catch that? You will guide them into the land. And boy, these poor nations that are coming, they don't know what's going to hit them. And if you read Joshua, they did hear all the nations of Canaan. They're coming out of Egypt. They're coming up. They all heard about it. Remember the people of Jericho? They were scared stiff because they had heard what God had done. He is the one who reigns. Verse 18, the Lord reigns forever and ever. We must sing our songs of praise. Tell people, tell yourself, sing to anyone who will listen what God will do. God is God, and he stays the same forever and ever. What he's done in the past, he will do. He might do it differently. I must say, he's not predictable, but he is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, but in your song, there's one last thing, and I really like this. And in verse 19, we've got to invite others to join in. It's not just our song. God never has delivered us just for us. It's also to be a witness. Remember how many times Badvili said last week, the Lord said to Moses, I will be glorified. I will receive glory by what I do. So everybody knows. Verse 19, Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea. When they did, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Verse 20, then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel or a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. Just go back to verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. It's one thing to have resolve, and that's a good start. But Miriam, who speaks for God, this is the sister who saved Moses. She says, sing to the Lord. All the women take their tambourines. They're dancing. They're inviting everyone. This is not just for a few people. This isn't just for the men to sing along. Everybody gets in on it. And she says, everybody come, sing. Sing to the Lord. He is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He is hurled into the sea. God saves. He's given us a story, and we need to sing it, and we need to invite other people to join in with us. Finally, last thing, turn to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. I'm sorry that I don't have a page number for you. Revelation 15. It's funny, Exodus 15, Revelation 15. John sees a crowd in heaven, those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. In the middle of verse 2 of chapter 15, it reads, they held harps given to them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. This song that we've just gone through is going to be heard again in heaven. They held harps given to them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Now, this is the new song. This is the new song. Can you read along with me? Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. In heaven, a song of God's praise, of his deliverance for his people, will be sung again. And then there's going to be a new song. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of other songs that we will all join together singing. Maybe we'll each get a chance to sing our own song. I don't know if that's how it's going to work. But just in case you don't get to sing it in heaven, how about for the rest of our lives here and now? We sing our song and we tell who God is. We tell what he's done. We tell what he is going to do. And we invite others to join with us. The great thing about hymns of the faith, about songs of praise, is that one person can write it, but our hearts resonate with us. We're going to be singing hymns on Sunday the 22nd, next Sunday in the evening, but we're going to whet your appetite right now. Go ahead and stand. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. It's just two verses from Amazing Grace, but let's sing out Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.